Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead by a score of 3-2. Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Home hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Brian Chakman here along with John Senecal. Episode 175. I mean, 175 million won't even get you a player these days. I mean, Juan Soto will probably be, you think he'll be what? What's the top number?
I would think they start with him at 600 million.
It's crazy. He's like an IPO.
Yeah.
It's like insane. We want to get to Soto. I want to talk about the Tampa Stadium. I don't have any idea what they're going to do. We're going to talk, obviously about some other free agent stuff. But and Rich Hill at 400 years old is playing baseball. But I want to start with these postseason awards. I don't want to go through everything. I don't really care about the Silver Slugger, but I do think at least MVP is an interesting conversation. I don't think Skeens is going to win the Cy Young. I think Sale will get it, and so he'll get Rookie of the Year. So the NL is kind of done. You have MVPs on both sides, and the Yankees have a 66.666% chance of winning the MVP. It's kind of incredible. You have three finalists in the MVP, and two of them play for the same team.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they complemented each other so well all season. But, I mean, the clear choice is obviously Judge, I would think. I think everybody thinks that. I mean, when you look at the numbers across the board, I mean, he put up probably, if you're not talking about a steroid era offensive categories, he probably put up the best season in the history of baseball for a right-handed hitter when it comes down to it.
Even with, I mean, he started to struggle late in the season, or was it just the
He had a little bit of hiccup in September, late August, September. But remember, he was batting like just under, almost under 100, like the first week of May. So he was struggling, man, and he went off. But again, back to him, the numbers, they just don't lie. I mean, I think, as great a season as Soto had, as much as Scott Boras and Soto would love to have him get first place votes, I mean, I think it's going to look like Judge gets all the first place votes. Bobby Witt Jr. probably gets all the second place votes, and Juan Soto probably gets all the third place votes. That's what I would think. I mean, if I'm a baseball aficionado, which I don't really, test to be, but I know a lot about the sport and I've watched all the players, and I think that's how it will shake out.
I mean, when you say 322, 58, and 144.
Yeah, I mean, and then slugging percentage was over 700, I believe.
Yeah.
And the last time that happened, I think, was Barry Bonds, and that was what I'm talking about.
My question is there anybody, whether it's, Ramirez with Cleveland, you think those are the three that should have gotten, is there anyone else who should have been considered?
When you look at the players and what they meant to the team, I mean, I'm a little bit surprised that Soto snuck in there with how much Judge meant to the Yankees.
Right.
But you can't discredit the season he had. I mean, the season he did have was amazing. I'll say the Gold Glove part is a little sketchy that he got nominated for that. I think it's a lot of backdoor dealing there to kind of bump up the numbers that we'll talk about later. But, there's no denying what Bobby Witt Jr. did. I mean, between him and Ellie De La Cruz, they're probably two of the biggest exciting young stars in baseball. And Bobby Witt Jr. can do it all. You look at the average, the speed, the power, and he's only going to get better, too. So, and when you look at difference makers on a team, he is the difference maker on that team.
So on the NL side, I mean, after Ohtani, I mean, I don't even know who else was
Lindor, and there was Kento Marte.
Okay, so Lindor, I get. again, he's an infielder, so some of his top line numbers are different. But he, especially after such a bad year the year before, and Marte, I don't know anything about him.
I mean, he plays for Arizona, so I mean, it is what it is. He's not going to get it. It's going to come down to Lindor and Ohtani, and it's going to come down to the fact is, are they going to give a DH the first time in the history of Major League Baseball the MVP award?
Right. Now, he's won it before, but he was pitching.
Yeah,
right?
This would be his third MVP if he wins it first.
But it makes sense
in the National League.
I mean, as a pitcher and a DH, it makes sense.
It makes, yeah. It's, you know, if you look at him and Lindor, right? So Ohtani had, 59 stolen bases and 54 home runs, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the next closest I think he ever had in stolen bases when he was doing double was like 25 or 26. So he basically doubled.
And he was only, 0.04 from the Triple Crown.
Right. And the other thing, if you look at him and you look at Lindor's numbers and you look at Ohtani's numbers,
It's not even close,
right? He basically put almost like another season of a pretty good player, another 20-something home runs, another 30, 50-something RBIs or whatever, because he had 130 RBIs, right?
Ohtani?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had actually, on the nose. Nice.
Yeah, so I mean, you look at that, because Lindor, I think, had like 97 or something like that.
I really love Lindor, though.
But the thing about Lindor is, he is, again, out there on the field for every single play, 150-something pitches.
And switch hitting.
Switch hitting at the premier position. I don't care what you say about catcher. I mean, catcher's tough. It's a tough position, but the premier position on the field is shortstop, after, as far as I'm concerned. And what he did down the stretch for that team,
yep.
I mean, he carried that team. He literally carried them. He put them in the postseason. So, but it's going to come down to, I think
Ohtani's going to win it.
Ohtani's going to win it, and you know what's going to come down to, obviously, is the 50-50. I think that's what's going to do.
50-50 and the near Triple Crown, and I think Lindor is an amazing player.
I think if Ohtani doesn't do the 50-50, it's a way bigger conversation and a way closer race. But again, I think Ohtani probably, he won't be unanimous, I don't think. Lindor will sneak in some first place votes.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 175 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Free agency, all the oxygen is getting sucked in by Juan Soto. I guess this is a Japanese player. I don't forget his name. What's his name?
Rory Sezaki, the pitcher.
Yeah. And
you do have to mention, though, the Yankees have two Rookie of the Year candidates, and they have two MVP lost the World Series.
Wait, they have Austin Wells. Who's the other one?
And Luis Hill, who will probably win it. He'll probably be the favorite to win it.
And they didn't win the World Series.
Yeah. Two MVPs and two Rookie of the Year candidates.
That World Series, I don't want to go over it again.
No.
It was frustrating. I thought that after, when they went up 5-0 in game
yeah,
five.
Yeah, we don't need to relive that. Yeah.
Listen, Soto is all everyone wants to talk about. Then you hear like, the Red Sox are going to meet with Boris. Such bull crap, because there's no chance they're going to, in my opinion, if they want to have an NBA franchise or an NFL team or whatever, they're not going to commit $600-700 million of capital to one person.
I don't see him in that team. I don't see the fit. I don't see the personality. I just don't. I feel like it would have been at least a rumbling of it before now. Of him,
My point is, I agree with you. Like, it's all window. Like, so you're gonna have coffee with Scott Boras. Who gives a crap?
They're just throwing out team names to make it sound like it's more important than
my question is not whether the Yankees are gonna try or what teams that we don't know about or aren't top five markets will make a play at this guy. Like, would a Kansas City do it? Would the Cubs do it? Like, what? The Padres won't.
I think the team that would shock everybody that would do it.
Seattle
and the Orioles. I mean, the Orioles have new ownership. They have money to spend. The guy said he's going to spend the money, and they're losing most likely if Santander doesn't resign. They're going to lose their right fielder. I mean, he would fit. I mean, he would have to probably want to pull the ball a little bit more in that stadium because there's a huge left field now there. But I don't see his personality going anywhere other than New York
or
LA.
What about his personality?
What about his person? Did you watch?
No, but like, why is that so New York Yankee though? Like, whatever.
I just feel like that's big city. He just needs that. I feel like there's rumors he go back to the Washington Nationals. He's not going back to the Washington Nationals.
You think he yearns for a big stage?
He's not going to the Tampa Bay Rays, dude. They don't even have like a stadium.
Right, we'll get to that in a
minute. But like. Mystery team? Come on, dude.
You don't see it?
No, I don't see it.
It's just Yankees or Dodgers.
I don't even think it's the Dodgers. I mean, where are the Dodgers? Like, where are they coming up with this money? They got Ohtani. Like, Ohtani's technically only on the books for like on the cap hit for like $43 million. I say only $43 million, but that's because he's making $700 million over the next 50 right. years or whatever it is. And now,
I guarantee that the ownership will sell the team.
Before that.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But if they're going to make a run at Sasaki, if they want to re-sign so-and-so, like Sasaki, if you just paid, what's his name? Yamamoto? $300-something million, and this kid's 23 throwing 101. You don't think he's going to get more than $300 million? I mean, of course he is. So, like, where is this money coming from? You're going to mortgage the next 10 to 50, 30 years, which they're already doing, and other major league teams are probably going to start going that route anyways, but where's the money coming from?
So you're saying that so Boris, you think, is going to gin up a market just to leverage the Yankees
a little
bit?
I think it's the Mets or the Yankees. I think that's what it's going to come down to. I think he got a taste of New York. He likes New York, and he would be the kind of guy that would thrive if he went to the Mets and being like, all right, you know, I went across town. Now look at me.
Right.
I'm going to do exactly what I just did, and I'm going to bring these guys to World Series because they were this close.
I wonder if there's anyone in the system. Alonso plays first, right?
So yeah.
I wonder if there's anyone in the system who could come in for Alonso, and you can use that $25 million you would have spent on him.
Mark Vientos. Move him from third to first base.
And then you could use the
Sign Alex Bregman. I mean, the Mets have the money to spend. They do whatever they want.
Well, yeah,
and they're going to do
it. But I actually think they might have more. My point is, I think they might have more wiggle room than the Yankees.
The Yankees need a first baseman. They need a second baseman. They could possibly need a third baseman. They need a right fielder. They need another pitcher. They need some bullpen help. The Yankees got a lot of room to fill. But they could also, if they really want to be bold, move Aaron Judge to first base. Bring up Dominguez. Put him in center. You're going to have to get creative on the corners.
I actually like that because I think it adds, even though I think Judge likes playing the outfield, I think it adds years to his career. But I have one question. So you think it's down to the Mets and the Yankees. Okay, that gets rid of one thing. Do you think it'll bother Judge that this guy's going to make two?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
$100 million more than him.
No, because I think Judge is a smart enough person to know that the age alone makes up for that difference. He knows that guy's good. I mean, he's a top five player in Major League Baseball, let's be honest. I mean, that's Juan Soto is, they call him the generational. I mean, Aaron Judge is not an idiot. I mean, plus, if you're cashing a $40 million check, who really cares?
Well, I mean, just because you're rich doesn't mean you don't like making more money. I mean,
I think it would be more of a big deal if they're on the same team, right? Like, he re-signs them and it's like...
What do you mean they're on the same?
You mean coming back to the Yankees?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, no. AAV thing? No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right, because
that's what Boris wants. Boris wants AAV. I think Ohtani's AAV now is like 44.
So he wants to get it to 50?
I would say 50, which is what, 12 years, $600 million.
Jesus.
Something like that, right? I think that's where it starts with him. Why not? If he's 26, why wouldn't it start there?
I just, I go back to that old school. I hear my dad's voice in my head. It just doesn't seem worth it. Like, none of it seems worth it. I just don't get it.
That's
$600 million. That's a publicly traded company.
Yeah. It's crazy to think. If the Yankees don't go his route and you say it's going to start at $600 million, then that's what it's going to start at, regardless of how you structure it or whatever, you spread it out. That's $600 million you could spend, right? You could get
a third baseman.
You could get a dial down. You get an Anthony Santander and right. You get an Alex Bregman. You could get.
But you don't think the Yankees? You think
a Max Fried or a Flaherty?
But they're going full out. You think?
I think it's the way the Yankees operate. I think he's the guy. Like I said before, he's a straw that stirs a drink. He's the new Reggie Jackson. He fits perfect in that city, whether it be in Queens or in the Bronx.
He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. It is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I don't understand. You read about this stuff more than me. Tampa's Tropicana Field is destroyed.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how they're going to play baseball in April. It's clearly not going to be there.
No. It's going to be, I'm guessing, somewhere in Florida, I would think, right? Because there's a plethora of places they can play.
Just
pack it up and move.
Freaking move the team.
Yeah. What's interesting is, like, you know, everyone, like, right away is like, well, why don't you just leave the roof off and play? It's like, well, there's no probably drainage in that place. And it rains all the time in Florida. So, like, I'm sure part of this $57 million it's going to cost to fix the roof is also to fix the rest of the interior that's going to get destroyed over the next, has been getting destroyed since, was it Milton or Helene? I forget. I think it was Milton that did that one. But still, it's like you got a stadium that you're supposed to be getting a new stadium in 2028, right?
Right.
And somewhere in St. Peter's.
Are they going to spend the millions to fix
it? I don't even know if they've broken ground on this thing yet, right? We're coming up on 2025, right?
Yeah, it's a long way away.
That's still, it's 3 years to build a stadium.
But I guess my point is, like, they're going to have to spend the $60 million to fix this place just for 3 years?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't even be able to go in there until 2026. So you're
getting 2 years.
2 years. Yeah. I mean, really only 1 year, because if you're going to start in 2028, you go and play for 2 years, 2026, yeah. 2027. Yeah. Why do you really want to spend that? And you know it's not going to cost $57 million. It's always more. So you say $100 million. Say it costs $100 million to do everything they need to do. Because it's, like I said, there's got to be field improvements. There's got to be all sorts of issues with that place. From seagulls getting in there and crapping everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be anything. And what do they do as far as putting a new roof on? And once they put that on, who's to say the next hurricane's not going to roll through and rip it off? So, like,
it's just such a waste of money.
I just feel like it's a complete waste of money for a team that nobody cares about.
So what do you do? Stick them at some AA park for 4 years?
I mean, honestly, I think if I was the Tampa Bay ownership, I think this is a perfect time to skedaddle and just be like, listen, this is like everything's – there's too many variables involved right here right now to do this and get the new stadium being built. We don't want to do this and just take off. Move up to Nashville, play there, wait for the stadium to be built there.
Or play 40 games in Nashville, play 40 games in Montreal.
Yeah. Everybody wants to go back to Montreal.
I know. I love Montreal. I think – I don't know.
Is there still a dome in Louisiana that's not where the Saints play? There's another – they still have that old dome there, right, where the Saints used to play before they built like Mercedes Park or whatever.
Was the same place.
No, I don't think it is. I think there's the one they flooded Superdome, which
the same
everyone went there and then they couldn't
get
water.
It's the same place.
Is it?
Oh, we'd have to check, but I do.
If our producer was listening to us right now,
no,
I haven't
no,
looked
he's
that
out
up.
To lunch. What are you kidding? I think it's the same place, but we'll look it up.
But like, back to that. So Tampa, right next door, would be the Yankees, right? So do you see the Steinbrenner family being like, yeah, come on in, Tampa, take over our complex and move all our stuff around, which they still have to play minor league games there.
No way.
I mean, think about what's happening in Sacramento. They got to compensate. I think it's a AAA team there, right? Or a AA team. They're going to be playing major league and like it's basically that team's going to be playing kind of the same schedule. They're going to be going on the road for 6 days, back for 6 days, like a minor league team. That's how the A's are going to be playing for the next 3 years.
Actually, like that model, I think, for a AA works.
I think
great.
It'd be kind of cool if you could go and be guaranteed, because sometimes getting into a 3-game series isn't the easiest, and it's also not the cheapest if you're thinking about weekend series. If you're going to play, it's super expensive. So I think that would be an interesting thing maybe for Major League Baseball to explore. Maybe not across the board, but maybe, you know, like a certain kind of, you know, a couple teams during the season.
It would
kind
make
of thing.
The players so much happier, in my opinion, because if you can get a, you know, sometimes 2 weeks straight in your own home.
Yeah, you do like a weekly showdown, Yankees, Red Sox.
I don't know. I think the next year
it's the Dodgers, somebody.
Maybe we can unpack that on a different day. Brian Shackman, John Senecal here, fan base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Finally, maybe you have something else to say, but Rich Hill got signed by a couple teams this year. Like, why? And now you're saying he's playing for Team USA?
Yeah, he's playing for Team USA, I believe, and it's a tournament called the Premier 12 Tournament, Premier 12 International Baseball Tournament. And Rich Hill's 44 years old, and you know this is kind of relevant other than the fact that this is pretty amazing that he's still 44 and playing baseball. But he did play for the Red Sox for a brief time in 2024 after he got done coaching his kids' Little League season. He got picked up by the Red Sox.
But like, what is he trying to, like, I don't, like, he's made money.
I think it's the love of the game, obviously. I mean, I think it's a hard thing to give up. It's not a family thing because he's done, you know, his kids, he got to do Little League, which he said he's only saw 4 of his kids' Little League games his whole career.
Oh,
and then he got to coach him in his final year of Little League. So I'm sure, you know, that's a huge box check for him. And I'm judging by the article I read, his wife is 100,000% behind him because her quote was, well, if you're on the team now and then they make a run in 2028, maybe be a coach. And because MLB, but baseball is coming back to the Olympics. In 2028 for Los Angeles.
She's smart.
She's smart. So, you know, she's looking forward, looking to the future. But the fact that he's still playing and that he's going to pitch, on Thursday night against Mexico for a chance to, if they win, to play in a gold medal game against Japan in the Premier Select Tournament. So then, I mean, he would win a gold medal. So
he's pitching against guys like 20 years younger than him. It's hysterical.
So Dick Mountain is back on the hill.
So listen, the big takeaway for me is that you think Soto is a two-team game, Mets and Yankees.
Well, I mean, there's always someone's always going to like.
But that's the headline of their podcast.
Yeah, I think it is the Mets and the Yankees, because I mean, like again, the Mets somehow got $180 million off the books. I mean, I don't know if they're still talking about how they're paying Verlander and they're paying Scherzer, because they're still paying both those guys.
Yep.
But currently, they have $180 million to spend, and I would think if they do sign Soto, I would imagine that probably Polar Bear is gone unless Polar Bear takes a hometown discount, and I wouldn't put it past Polar Bear doing that.
Alonso.
You never know. Yeah.
I love him.
I do too.
I really like, I hate to say I just, this, I like the Mets. I like the Mets.
The thing that scares me about the Soto scenario with the Yankees is if they don't get Soto and they go straight panic mode and start signing a guys that would just, I feel like Alonso,
I just feel like Alonso
wouldn't play good for the Yankees. I don't want to see him come to the Yankees because I feel like he would lose something.
It's like Rizzo. It's a little late in the career. Anything can happen.
Something about it. Yeah. I just don't, you know.
It's back to the 80s.
He's only 30 years old, right? He's 30 years old, which is old for baseball standards, but still it's not like he's 35.
Right.
Right. So he could still get his legacy contract, get a 6-year deal. Because I imagine that's probably what he's looking for. Most of these 30-year-olds are going to be looking 6 years because they're not getting these 10-year deals. It's just not going to happen.
Right. 6-200 or something like that.
I would hate to see him come in and only be good for two of those years. Or, you know, he's not an injury-prone player, but it's just something I just feel like he might not fit Yankees where he fits better with the Mets.
I mean, as you said, I mean, the Yankees, they have some holes if they want to compete. But, I mean, I think they have to sign
Soto. I mean, there's
Soto.
You know, you got Corbin Burns, Alex Bregman, Blake Snell, Max Fried, Willy Adames, Jack Flaherty, Sean Manaea, Eovaldi. Is still out there. Eovaldi's 35.
Love him.
Alonso's 30. Rory Sasaki, the one we talked about, 23 years old. I mean, I'm surprised the Yankees didn't just say bye-bye, Cole, with that whole drama and just
so
say.
So let me ask you, if you could get your top three picks on that list or Soto, what would you pick?
Well, if you could.
No, just answer the question.
If you could get the. If you could
the top,
get,
you could have the top three picks on that list or Soto.
I would say.
Because basically, that's it would cost you $600 million to get three there.
Yeah.
And it costs you $600 million to get
the Soto. The only factor I would think it comes down to is what years are involved in the said deals, right?
Well, just give me. I mean, it's a dumb question, but just give me an answer. What would you take?
Is Gerrit Cole still on the team?
I don't know. Just freaking answer the question.
I like Juan Soto, man. I think he's a difference maker. I'm going with him.
Okay. Boom, done. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.